Join us now for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
It's for your life, some hope, some faith, and some healing. Now, there's a small group that began last weekend that we want to bring to your attention. We'd like that small group to stand as last weekend Seth and Melanie Collins said, "I will and I do," and the small group of Collins began their life together as husband and wife. Aren't they beautiful? I mean, they're both beautiful, aren't they? And I would guess they're still accepting wedding gifts. It's not too late. So we're thrilled for you guys. We're so proud that you're a part of our church family and our lives, and couldn't be more thrilled about not getting invited to your wedding. So this morning, we turn our attention. See? No offense taken. I'm just seeing if everybody was awake. So this morning, turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Galatians chapter 6. Now, the good news is, if you forgot your Bible, Media Man is here this morning. And Media Man will make sure that Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 is up on the screen here in just a moment. And in place of Media Man this morning, we have Media Woman. And so, Teresa Childers, we are so thankful that you are Media Man this morning. So I want to welcome those of you who may just be joining us to a series that we've entitled Unbroken. Now, Unbroken is a series that stresses the importance of commitment. Because committing to the right things is important, because committing to the right things builds a strong foundation in your life. So the goal and the purpose of this series is to strengthen the foundation of faith in each of our lives. Again, the goal and the purpose is to strengthen the foundation of faith in our lives. If you ever in your life want to grow in the Lord, if ever in your life you want to get deep in the Lord, then I want to encourage you to pray for one of two things. Pray number one, for patience. And something very close to it is to ask God to show you your heart as He sees it. I'm finding over and over again as human beings, there are some things we just don't see. And then there are other things we just won't see. So there's some things we don't see, and then there's some things we just won't see. And the reason we don't want to see it is because then we're going to be responsible for it. Can I remind you that the right things in Christ are unbreakable? The right foundation of faith in Christ is unbreakable. Scripture says that not even the gates of hell can prevail against the right foundation in Christ. Now, sadly, as a pastor, I see many, many well-meaning people who are guilty of sowing the wrong behavior and yet expecting the right result. In fact, they act shocked and they get angry with God when they don't get what they want, even though they're sowing the wrong thing. On Friday afternoon, I had an In Living Color example. I went to the doctor, and the nurse that was where they do the triage part thing, where they ask you questions and they interview you and they weigh you, which is always glorious. We got into the room, and evidently on my chart, it listed that I was a minister of the gospel. And so she started asking me questions. What kind of church do you pastor? What kind of a church is it? She was a young single adult, and she said, "Do you have any good-looking young men in your church?" And I said, "Well, I think so. I think there's some great-looking guys in our church, and I think they're living out the right things." And she said, "Well, I've been meaning to get back in church. I was raised in church, and I've known better, but I've kind of gotten out of church, and I'm having a hard time finding the right guy." And so I asked her the million-dollar question. I said, "Well, if you're having a hard time finding the right guy, where are you looking?" And she said, "Well, Pastor, I go clubbing. Don't judge me, but I go clubbing. I don't drink, and I don't smoke. I get out on the floor and dance a little bit and act silly, but it just amazes me that I can't find the right guy in the wrong place." I just shook my head, and she said, "Well, what do you think?" And I said, "Well, there you go. There you go. And yet, sadly, I see many, many people, many well-meaning believers, sowing the wrong behavior and yet expecting the right result. And then when things don't come to pass in their life like they thought they should or they thought it should, they get shocked and then they act angry at God. And that's why I want to make sure that we as a church family recommit ourselves to the important things in life that build a strong foundation of faith. And can I tell you, that's going to take commitment. Webster says that commitment is the state or the quality of being dedicated to a cause or to an activity. Christ and Christ-likeness is that cause. Growing in faith and faith growing in me is that activity. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Scripture also tells us that faith without works, faith without the right walk, is dead. Some of the synonyms for our series on commitment are things like dedication, devotion, allegiance, loyalty, and faithfulness. There's at least five building blocks, five things that I want to encourage this church to recommit themselves to like never before, two of which we've looked at. In week one, Pastor Clint taught on committing yourself to a life of love. Right now, I'm in the middle of encouraging and challenging you to commit to faithfulness or to commit to forgiveness. Before this is done, we're going to talk about what does a marriage commitment look like? What does being committed to patience and truth look like? And so to build this foundation, we've looked to Galatians 6, which says in verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, or a man reaps from what he has built. Whoever sows to please their flesh, well, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good," or in the context of this passage of Scripture and this series, let us not become weary in building a strong foundation of faith. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Today, I want to come back to the table, and I want to encourage each of us to commit ourselves, to recommit ourselves to forgiving. Webster says to forgive means to stop feeling anger towards someone. It means to stop feeling anger towards someone who's done something wrong, to stop blaming someone. To stop feeling anger about something. Simply put, forgiveness is the act of pardoning the offender. Now, in the Bible, the Greek word translated forgiveness literally means to let go of, as when a person doesn't demand payment for a debt. It means to cancel a debt that's owed. And this morning, that's what I'm calling each of us to, is to commit ourselves to lives of canceling debts and walking in forgiveness. Scripture says some wonderful things about forgiveness, and today I want to use the Message translation, and I want to read to you three passages of Scripture that really breaks down the truth of forgiveness and puts it in our lives where we daily live out our lives. Ephesians chapter 4 says in verse 30, "Don't grieve God. Don't break His heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for Himself. So don't take such a gift for granted." In verse 31, it says, "Make a clean break. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, and profane talk. Be gentle with one another. Be sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and as thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you." In Matthew chapter 5, it says in verse 23, "This is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and you're about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you, abandon your offering. Leave immediately. Go to this friend and make things right. Then and only then, come back and work things out with God." Again, I want to remind you that when you get ready to grow in faith and you want to get to the meaty matters of the Word, can I tell you, it's more than just sitting through a sermon praying, "Oh God, let us get out of here by noon," and learning more. It's about taking the things that you're learning and beginning to implement that in your doing. Because until it reaches your doing, It won't affect what you're becoming. James chapter 5 says in verse 16, make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Elijah the prophet, for instance, he was human just like all of us, but he prayed hard that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. Not a drop for 3.5 years. And then this morning he prayed that it would rain, and it did. And the showers just came and came and came, and everything started growing again. Now, we too often focus here and talk about how powerful prayer is. But what we need to focus on is how powerful unforgiveness is. The unforgiveness that you hold in your heart, the forgiveness that you choose not to give someone else, ends up causing a drought in your life, and certain things in your life that really matter to you, they stop growing. And one of those things that stop growing is the intimacy in your life. When you decide you're not going to forgive one person, can I remind you, it doesn't just affect that relationship. It begins to affect and infect every relationship that you have, and you stop growing in the Lord, and you stop growing in developing intimacy in your relationships. If unforgiveness indeed causes a drought, and it does, then just how much more powerful is it when you and I choose to forgive those who've offended us in our life? Now, I came across this quote on a sign, and I thought this was so fitting for our series. I laughed out loud both times that I read it. It said this: just because you're offended doesn't necessarily mean you're right. Thank you for laughing and making me feel like it wasn't just me. That kind of hurt, though, in my laughter. Can I tell you, sooner or later, every place in your life, every relationship in life is going to require a lot of forgiveness. Great marriages are birthed out of great differences. Great marriages are birthed out of great differences. And two people who are committed to greatly forgiving each other. You got to learn to become a great forgiver. And all too often, many, too many, walk through life easily offended. And they don't realize that just because we're offended doesn't mean that we're necessarily right. Not even looking for a sermon example. Several weeks ago, I stopped at Kroger's to pick up some Hawaiian rolls. The Lord led me that way. It's funny like that. And I was checking out, and I wasn't really there for Hawaiian rolls, but man, right now I could sure use some with some butter. But I was checking out, and I wasn't getting a Hawaiian roll, I'm going to tell you the truth. I was getting a cinnamon roll. And when the girl, she took it, and she just real fast just swiped it. And she didn't hear it beep, so she did it back again. And I'm that person that looks for the penny in my checkbook. If it doesn't count, if it doesn't balance by 1 cent, I will look for weeks until I find it. How many of you out there are right with God and you're that same way? And so I kind of watch when I check out. I don't just kind of, I really watch. I know exactly what everything costs. And in my mind, I have a good idea of what the balance is going to be before tax. And so I know I heard it beep twice. And I looked, and for confirmation, I said, ma'am, I believe. I was very nice. Ma'am. I said, ma'am, I think you charged me twice for that cinnamon roll. Oh, I did not. I was like, man, can I have my hand back? And I was stunned. I looked to the guy behind me, and he gave me that look like, what you gonna do when the law comes after you? I didn't even know. I just said, no, ma'am, could you check and just see before you ring up the total? I've already rang up the total. And I said, well, I appreciate that, but if we could look, it would keep me from having to go to customer service and get a refund. It looks like your children when they're acting like your spouse. And then she said, yeah, that's twice. And she tried to make the cash register refund or go back and blot that extra charge out, and she couldn't do it. And next thing we knew, the manager came over. And it just seemed like everyone was looking at me. High maintenance preacher on aisle two. High maintenance preacher at aisle two. I felt everybody's eyes on me. I just wanted one cinnamon roll. If I would have wanted two and had time to eat them before I got home and my wife saw me, I would have done that. But I don't want to pay for two. I'm telling you, if I don't tell the truth up here, it comes out more painful at home, I promise you. Because you're, how many of you know your mouth's a tattletale? Your tongue will tell on you when you ain't even trying. And so here's the point of the story that I want you to hear. Just because we're offended, it doesn't necessarily mean we're right. And I think we've got to recognize that we live in a society of people who are easily offended. And here's going to help someone. It's helping me to remember this. No matter where I go, people are going to offend me. Do you know, it's not just people at church that you're going to have to learn to get over and work through offense with. They go to work, too, just like you. They're related to you and even have your last name. You go to college with them. You go to La Brisa with them after church on Sunday. It's a guarantee. Because of who the enemy is, he's going to rock the bedrock of your faith. And he's going to use other people to do it. And it's going to begin with a small offense one day that then enslaves you to anger and bitterness and unforgiveness in another day. So this morning, I want to give you seven things that forgiveness is not. Seven things that forgiveness is not. Because to truly understand what forgiveness is, you've got to look at what forgiveness is not. Number one, forgiveness is not the same as forgetting. Forgiveness is not the same as forgetting. Many well-meaning people think just because they remember it, it makes them unforgiving. But can I remind you, forgiveness is not the same as forgetting. Number two, forgiveness is not about regaining automatic trust. When you have either offended someone or someone has offended you, it withdraws trust. And that doesn't just automatically show back up because you've said, I'm sorry. Number two, forgiveness is not about automatic trust. Number three, forgiveness is not the removal of consequences. Forgiveness is not the removal of consequences. It's not exonerating the perpetrator, but it's liberating the victim. So number three, forgiveness is not the removal of consequences. Number four, forgiveness is not ignoring the offense. It's not excusing their behavior and act like, oh, they didn't really do anything and going on. That's called denial. Number five, forgiveness is not being instantly healed emotionally. Forgiveness is not being instantly healed emotionally. It's not just from the moment that person, hold on, sit down, guys. You're a little early. We're still on the not, what forgiveness is not. You are part of the forgiveness that is. But you look great in your orange this morning. You're on the second row, and now you're energetic, and you're passionate, and you're casting vision. You're just early. So number five, forgiveness is not being healed emotionally instantly. And sometimes people that have hurt us the deepest want to just give us a flippant, shallow apology and then act like, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you just going on? Why? Because you broke my heart. You broke trust. You broke the values of this home. And you have not only broken that, but now you have the audacity to pull an attitude and act like I'm the bad guy now. Number six, forgiveness is not about the relationship being restored to the same place it was prior to the offense. Many, many people that are highly offended and highly offensive, because offended people offend people. Let's say that together. Offended people offend people. And then blame those who got offended as the offensive. They expect us. They hold us hostage. Well, I don't even know why you would ever question me. Why? Because you broke all these years of trust. You broke the rules, not just of the house, but of God's word. You broke the rules in my spirit. And I can't just push a magic button. I'm sorry, I'm boring you, aren't I? I'll get to the signs of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not pushing the reset button on a relationship and it automatically healing overnight and everybody goes back to acting normal again. And the relationship returns to the same place it was in prior to the offense. Number seven, forgiveness is not about using the power you now have to control the relationship. You ever see someone who's been able to give forgiveness and then use it against the offender? The offended person be very genuine, very humble, very broken about how they missed it. And then the person who is giving the forgiveness says things that control the relationship now. Well, Renee, I've forgiven, but I'll never forget. And every time something seems to be going off the rails, that person is quick to use that martyrdom as a means of controlling the power. So as this continues to go over very well, now I'm going to give you, with the help of our studio audience, seven things, seven signs. They're going to stand up in just a moment with their sign and tell us what forgiveness is. Because to forgive, because we've talked about what it's not, now we're going to talk about what it is. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover the whole time that prisoner is you. That's what forgiveness is. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and then discover, wow, the prisoner was me. So one of the disciples was wanting to appear zealous and pious and mature spiritually to the Lord, and his name was Simon Peter. And in Matthew chapter 18, he goes to the Lord. And obviously, he's lived some life, and he's probably got some relationships that are struggling. They're in the red. They're not in the black. They're in the red. And obviously, some people have probably said or done some things, or both, that have offended him. And so Simon Peter has apologized to them according to the law, and he's been generous probably two or three times. But in Christ's eyes, he wants to look super spiritual. So he says to Christ, he says, Jesus, just tell me about forgiveness. Should I forgive my brother up to seven times? He's more than doubling what the law required. And Jesus looked at him and Jesus looks at us and says, no, forgive that person that offended you seven times 70. Are you breathing? Sign number one, forgiveness is, real loud, forgiveness is a choice. Thank you, Vanna. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not an occasional act. It is a constant attitude. It's a discipline. It's a position. Now, let's say on the rare occasion that me and the first lady are not getting along. Very rare. And let's say that I caused it, which is even more rare. And let's say that I really hurt her deeply. The kind of hurt that doesn't just go away. The kind that just words, and promises, and I'll change, and I'll change, and I'll change, doesn't fix anything in a day. Scripture is saying to Dina, you are to forgive. That's a choice. It's going to be a very difficult one. Because the deeper and more frequent the wound, the harder it is to make the choice. Can I tell you, the first step in forgiveness is praying and asking God, oh God, just make me willing to forgive. And it's more than two or three times according to the Old Testament law, and it's more than seven times according to the question that Simon Peter asked about the things and the people that had hurt him. It's about an act, not just an occasional act. It's about an attitude. It's about a discipline. It's about a position that requires a whole lot more than seven times. And can I tell you, with some offenses, it takes more than seven times 70. Christ understands how offense works in Scripture. Christ understands that long after the person that offended you is out of your life, on the outside, the activity of the offense will be carried on the inside. That over and over again, the enemy's going to stir up that trouble in you. And you're going to remember, you're going to be in the room one minute and in another place the next. And you're going to remember the words that they spoke over you or spoke to you. You're going to remember what they did against you. And in that moment, if you're not careful, if you're not in a position of forgiveness, if you don't have an attitude of forgiveness, you will find yourself pulled right back down into a spirit of unforgiveness. And one moment you'll have been free, and the next minute you'll be imprisoned. It's one thing for a person in your life to hurt you one day, and it's another for you to live in a prison the rest of your life. Because number one is? Thank you, Vanna. From experience, from hurting others that I loved deeply, to others who love me deeply who've hurt me. From experience, can I tell you, holding on to your pain is a much easier choice than releasing your pain through forgiveness. Too many times we go through life and we only think about it as the offended party, never recognizing, man, we are highly offensive. Some of the last people to know how offensive they are the ones that are the most highly offensive. I want to put like one of those signs that says, it's like got a flame on it, and it says, highly flammable. So that I don't go through checkout lane number two no more. And then I want to be aware of the people that in this life, they are just, man, fragile. And I wish I could just put tape on them. Fragile, easily offended. Fragile, handle with care. Forgiveness. I promise you it's not always easy, but it'll always be profitable. Can I remind you that at times it feels more painful than the wound we originally suffered? Forgiveness is not always easy. At times it feels more painful than the wound we suffered to forgive the one that inflicted it. And yet there's no peace without forgiveness. Forgiveness is a conscious decision made by the injured party. Number two. We get to the shortest point of my sermon now. Okay, the longest. Forgiveness is letting go of your right to get even. Forgiveness is what? Number two? Oh. Scripture makes it pretty clear that we have choices every day to either live and keep in step with the Spirit or live and die and keep in step with the flesh. But you know what comes so natural to what each of us have a lot of? And that is a lot of flesh. Each of us has this human nature that thinks in terms of revenge. But when you choose to forgive someone, you give up that right for revenge. Romans 12 and 19 says, don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. So sign number two, forgiveness is what? Letting go of your right to get even. Sign number three, forgiveness is real loud. You, Janice, please. Forgiveness is about moving forward. Forgiveness is like saying, it hurt. I didn't like it, but I'm moving forward with my life in spite of the pain. Imagine in your life, in the middle of a pastor's sermon, the pastor coming off the stage and talking to you about where you live and the importance of forgiveness. Imagine him coming down the stairs and saying that unforgiveness is like carrying someone through life. When an offense first gets started in our life, for the sake of this conversation and the context of this point, an offense looks about this size. It's light, it's easy to manage. But the longer you hold on to unforgiveness, the heavier it gets. The more you add to the original offense. I found over and over again, highly offended people will even look back at the original offense and add things to it that never happened, but they would fight you to death and swear up and down, that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And to them it is. You get quoted for saying things you never said and doing things you've never done, but you could never convince the person that's been offended that you are guilt-free. So what starts out like this one day becomes this the next day. This is going to cost you money. And then what you don't deal with today, it just keeps growing and it just keeps growing and it just keeps growing. And you want to move forward with your life. You want to see God answer your prayers. You want to see God save your marriage. You want to see God heal you of your physical body. You want to see God in your finances. You want to be blessed. But you can't see that because a mountain of unforgiveness has eclipsed your ability to do the right things that God rewards. And so instead of sowing into the spirit realm, you sow into the fleshly realm. And you take your energy and you reinforce the hurt. You nurse it like a child. You just rock it back and forth. And you rehearse the offense over and over and over again. And before you get done, you're cursing now. You're speaking in tongues, but it ain't from God. And you're speaking death in you, and you're speaking death over them. And before it's all said and done, don't kid yourself. You're carrying someone through life. And now everywhere you go, they go with you. You try to go on vacation. You try to go to the beach and see the water, but you can't see the water because all you can see is that part of them. That's all you can see. Now, y'all get your minds out of the gutter because I wasn't saying what some of you were hearing. And shame on you. Sowing to the flesh right here in the pastor's sermon. Now, I'm talking real life. What again is our point? Forgiveness is what?
About moving forward.
Well, I can't move forward if I'm carrying my past. And one thing about carrying your past is it becomes too heavy for you. So you call the prayer chain. Or somebody in church that you think might feel the same way. Whoa. Okay. I have a dog that when he does that with his leg, good things don't happen. So I think you misread where we were going with that, but good try. So guess what we well-meaning, spirit-filled people do? We call someone that we think feels the same way about DJ, the same way about Dominion Church. It's changed. Wow. Pastor's different. Pastor's distant. Pastor's mean. Tell me something good. Mm-mm. Tell me that you love me. No old schoolers here? How many of you know that song? Gaither Vocal Band, 1904. Okay, so here's what unforgiveness does. It gets too heavy for you to carry. You got to find someone else. Dun dun da dun dun da dun da dun da dun. Done. How do you think a church split happens? How do you think a marriage split happens? You got to throw the devil out of your life. You got to say, I'm moving forward. I'm not going to hold that person in my prison of my heart anymore. I'm going to start walking in forgiveness. So I'm going to throw not my friends and loved ones out, but the spirit of unforgiveness. I'm going to throw it out of my heart, and I'm going to throw it out of my life. Don't you come here no more. Get out. Don't do that thing with your leg again. Now, we're laughing. And we're laughing, and we're laughing. But what we should be doing is let the Holy Spirit examine and examine and examine and examine. Now, for those of you that are worried about their feelings, he's a son to me. He's a dear friend and armor bearer to me. I still don't know where the hiked leg came from. We'll talk about that after church. But I know that he only meant it for my good. See, can I tell you that I'm never going to finish this sermon this morning, so I'll conclude here. Can I tell you, you don't carry them physically at first. You carry them mentally and emotionally. You carry them spiritually until it becomes so big. Now it carries you physically. The spirit of unforgiveness, number three. What is it? Forgiveness is about? Until unforgiveness is dealt with and until forgiveness is given, you're going to have to carry that person. More times than not, the weight is more on the person offended than it is on the person who caused the offense. Sign number four, forgiveness is real loud. One more time. Can I tell you that the grudge is more than a movie? It's a song. And sadly, in too many cases, the song has got a title, The Story of My Life. A grudge is a persistent feeling of ill will or resentment resulting from a past injury or insult. Synonyms include resentment, bitterness, hard or bad feelings, a chip on one's shoulder. A grudge is being resentful, unwilling to give, grant, or allow someone forgiveness. So sign number four of what forgiveness is letting go of the grudge. Sign number five, forgiveness is... That was done as well as any sign person has ever done before. Thank you, Nixley. Forgiveness is a step towards healing. Forgiveness takes the weight and the pressure off of the person who's been hurt. It opens the door for their emotions to begin to heal. Can I tell you, it will take time. Can I caution you? It will take time for your emotions to heal, and it will take time to rebuild the trust. Now, I want to pause here because we're almost done and tell you, some of you are probably sitting here and you've probably caused great pain. And up to this point, this sermon sounds almost hopeless to you because you're like, man, I will never build up that trust. I will always be in their jail. How could that be positive? Can I tell you how that'll be positive? That will be positive in that it makes you highly aware of the fact that you, in another season, broke the trust in this relationship. So it's going to make you more cautious in what you say, more cautious in what you do, and more respectful of the person that you've hurt. It will be a positive because it will cause you to make a mid-course correction in your relationships and realize, man, I've been blaming everybody else for what I've caused. I need to step back. I need to check myself before I wreck myself. Because you know what? I have fallen short of the glory in this relationship. I'm the one that got this started. I'm the one that stirred this up. I'm the one that crossed the line. I'm the one that wrecked the boundaries. I'm the one that showed disrespect. And to further the cause and to make matters worse, then I blamed them. Then I disrespected them. Then I talked down to them. And I'm the one that's guilty of sowing in the flesh, and then getting mad at God and mad at my parents and mad at my family and mad at my dog and cat because God's best has not yet come into my life. Am I helping you? Can I tell you, coming to this church, God will either heal you or kill you. And sometimes you need both. Come on now, someone say amen. Sign number 6. This is my favorite. Forgiveness is what?
The face of His grace.
Forgiveness. It's the face of His grace. It's His ability to erase. When you and I choose to forgive, we are literally modeling the example of Christ. And in it, we're giving the greatest gift that's ever been given to us. We're giving it to ourselves, and we'll give it to others. Can I tell you the most difficult person I've ever had to forgive? Is myself. Colossians says in chapter 3, so chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe that God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, short sermons, discipline, be even-tempered. Be content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Under Armour, I'm not sure what I'm saying. Why are y'all looking at me? Never be without the all-purpose garment of love. I sat on the front row yesterday and I listened as this incredible anointed gift through the teaching of Shay Butts was just given to our church family. How she taught us what healthy boundaries are. What we're responsible to and what we're responsible for. And I thought, man, I wished I'd have heard this teaching 53 years ago. Because some of the mess in my life I've caused. But if I just put some healthy boundaries, then according to Scripture, the boundaries that God puts in my life that I live out, they fall in pleasant places. Shay, thank you, not just for getting up and going to work every day and having your own center for bringing health to people's lives and families, but thank you for pouring into our families yesterday and teaching us how God gives us the face of His grace, His ability to erase the things we've messed up and mixed up. I close this morning with sign number 7, forgiveness. Forgiveness does what? Forgiveness removes the barrier between us and living at peace, again, with ourselves, with others, and with God. Romans 12 and 18 says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. There's a visual today that I'm going to ask each of our signs of forgiveness to come. I'm going to ask them to stand in numerical order across the stage. And they're going to hold their truth. We're going to rehearse these truths. And we're going to reverse this curse that the enemy has found in our relationships and in our hearts. And today we're going to take a step of faith by committing to forgiveness. And so if we could start with number 1 on this end, next to her, number 2, number 3, number 4, and if we could just spread all the way across, numbers 1 through 7, I want you to be a prophet to each one of us Because with every yes, there's an amen. Dr. Phil says no matter how flat a pancake is, there's always two sides. And today there's two signs to our side. And if you would, tell us what those are. Number one, forgiveness is?
A choice.
I choose forgiveness. Number two.
Forgiveness is letting go of your right to get even. I choose to let go.
Amen. Number three.
Forgiveness is about moving forward, and I choose to move forward.
Number four.
Forgiveness is letting go of the grudge, and I choose to not hold a grudge.
Number five.
Forgiveness is a step toward healing. I choose healing.
This is the greatest moment in your life. Some of us have lived in prisons of guilt and shame and condemnation. We've hurt others. We've fallen short of the glory of God. We broke all the Ten Commandments in one night. And we've not been able to get out from underneath those broken pieces. Maybe our loved one has forgiven us, but we haven't been able to forgive ourselves. Today, with your choice, you can be healed. Number nine. Oh, wait. Six?
Six.
Jesus?
Forgiveness is the face of His grace. I choose grace.
And number seven.
Forgiveness removes the roadblock of pain. I choose a new path.
Notice what each of these have in common. I choose. Today is about taking back your power. Because unforgiveness doesn't keep them from hurting you again. Unforgiveness strips your power from you, and you're unable to keep from hurting and hurting yourself. I choose. Today you get your power back. I choose. They've chosen to take the I choose dare. Will you? With heads bowed and eyes closed. Some of you have been praying, oh God, give me a sign. Well, today you got seven. This is where you quietly pray. And you ask Jesus Christ into your heart for the first time or for the next time. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be repeated after the pastor. But today each of us can experience Jesus. We can experience salvation through Him, deliverance through Him, healing through Him, and now hope. This is your moment to forgive God who could have kept you from feeling this pain. This is your moment to forgive yourself who perhaps created this pain. And this is your chance to choose forgiving yourself who continues to hold on to this pain. So quietly, we're going to wait on the Lord and then we're going to be dismissed. was about 2 minutes. In football, there's something called the 2-minute warning. It means they're about to run out of time. The way that I want to apply that today is that some of your relationships that have lived without the intimacy that's come as a result of you living in unforgiveness is running out of time. This morning, I borrowed from your trust and I preached overtime. Not to preach long, but to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit longed to do in each and every heart. In fact, I think you're going to get this time back because of the forgiveness. Because now you won't be dragging the past, holding grudges. You'll be able to have chosen healing by letting go. Today you saw the face of His grace. And from this point on, every person in your life is going to see the reflection of His face of grace in your face of grace. You're going to develop a new plan, a new path. You're going to walk with new people. And you're going to see the greatest things in your life ever come to pass. One of the sweetest young men I know was in my small group. New paths, new everything for you men of God as you walk together with me. You're going to teach me and Neelam the Bible together. We're going to pray DJ through for being the devil in our lives. It's going to be powerful. We're going to teach Joey a different dance move for sermon illustrations. It's going to be wild. It's going to be crazy. Now heal. 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 God has begun a deep healing in you through the teaching of His Word. Because today you took your choices back. You took authority over them. And now you're going to have a new path. God's going to send you new people. New people. Grab my hand. New people. And together you'll join hearts and hands. And you'll be partners. You're going to go on adventures of faith and do great and mighty things together. Old things are going to be made new. Some of the most dear people in your life will be right there in church. Turn to your neighbor and tell them there's a thought. God, today, we are your body. Heal us. Give us peace. Give us faith. Give us healing in our relationships. That we might be a testimony of you. That we might stand strongly in the streets of this city and forever declare the face of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to warn you, I feel another sermon point coming on me. So you better practice some Isaiah 40 and verse 31. You better run and not be weary. You better walk and not faint. Or I'll be mounting up on this pole, but one more time, and I'll be soaring above you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Let's get out there and get along. Goodbye.
This concludes the message. For prayer or more information, email prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call 281-554-3600. Thank you for listening.